Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mullet and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. There were a couple of really bad plays by veteran players in that game, and we just talked about one, McPhee kind of going off on his own and running a game without anyone knowing about it. So you're giving up a lane, and you're giving up – you know, I thought that Prince Amukamara had a really bad moment too on that long touchdown run where – he filled a hole instead of not filling a hole, and he's supposed to be the last line of defense, and they had already blocked the linebacker, and he came in, and there was a wide-open hole, and the guy was gone. How do you handle that, Dave? How do you go to veteran players when you're trying to keep your team together and you have this bad loss, and all of a sudden you're two games back in the division, and you're really three games behind Green Bay because you lost to them twice already, so it's – you know, you're just in a dodgy part of your season. You're trying to keep everyone together. I mean, yeah, it's a bad moment.
I'll tell you how you do it. And NFL players, probably all players, professional players, they respond to two things, money and peer pressure. I mean, this is just my belief. And the way I would handle something like that, I would put that tape on, not in front of the just defensive linemen, not in front of just the secondary, you know, if we're talking about the play where the, you know, in the corner, losing the ball, that's where you watch the whole defense. You get the whole defense in there, and those players don't want to see that. And you don't have to yell and scream. I mean, you put it on there and you say, guys, what's the down and distance? And, okay, third and two. What do we got to be? What kind of pass are they going to throw here? It's going to be a quick pass to get the first down. Exactly. Could they run the ball? Yes. Do we run games on third and two? No. You know what I mean? And you just kind of review the scenario, and it takes care of itself. I mean, you can't lose the team at this point, and John won't, but you have to correct it. And like I say, peer pressure, the rest of the guys watching that tape, they know. They all know, and that's your biggest that's the quickest way to solve it.
Is that why John said in the postgame, and apparently it was the same message he delivered to the team, because the players were echoing his almost verbatim that, you know, they but for two games they've been in every game. He keeps reinforcing the positives, even though the rest of us who watch that game, whether you think they're in a rebuild or not, you were so disappointed that they came on the short end against the Packers when the Packers seemingly he had every advantage on, whether it's schedule or everything else, and he comes out and keeps talking about how close they are. Is that just not to lose the team?
Yeah, I think part of it is that way, and part of it's realistically. I mean, you know, I mean, they could have beaten Atlanta, right? I mean, we could go through the games, you know what I mean? And it's all a matter of who's got the chalk last, as we say. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, who's at the board last with the chalk wins? But he's making some good points, and his players are hearing that, and you know, the old philosophy, you've heard me say it, lose some games, but don't lose the team. And I think that's where they're at right now. And
they're 3-6, though, Dave. He makes it sound like they're 7-2. And it's hard
and five.
To hear. We've only really lost badly twice because we gave the ball away. You know, what's the Parcells line? You are what your record says you are.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, it is.
And that's why it rings hollow when he's talking to the media. Maybe that plays with the players, but when he comes out after the game and is like, yeah, talking about how hard I feel bad for the guy, because what are you supposed to say?
Right,
but
right.
It's also self-preservation.
Yeah, you know? and you're playing a lot of young players, and you know, he could sit there, and the things that I'm talking about right now, I guarantee if he was in here, he could go through and talk about the same things, but that doesn't accomplish anything, talking about those type of things in the media at this point. So he's just got to keep it together and try to get try to get a win. Who is it? Detroit, right? I mean, try to beat Detroit, who's a lot better football team than Green Bay, I think. You know what I mean?
Well, they got the best quarterback left standing in the division.
Absolutely.
Right? By a mile.
Correct.
And, you know, you got to play them twice here coming up here.
And their defense has been – Detroit's improved. Defense, you know, early in the year, they were as stingy as anybody. They were playing great. Then they had about a three-game sinking spell where they've kind of fell off the map, and then they come back again. They're kind of like an NBA team. They wait till the second half and the fourth quarter and then explode. I was watching that game
true.
Sunday.
It's tied, right?
Like an NBA game.
It's tied till the fourth quarter. Then I flash back and they're up by two or three touchdowns, whatever it was.
And you sit there and you watch them and you're like, God, look at their weapons. You know, They got a tight end. They got a couple receivers. The running back can catch the ball. What's his name? The Notre Dame kid, Dustin.
Golden Tate.
No, not Golden Tate's a receiver.
Reddick. Theo Reddick.
He can come. But, I mean, they don't run the ball well. Right. But, boy, they are explosive, and they can score some points when they want to.
Quarterback's the key with their team. That's the deal. He's the fuel that makes the engine go.
That's going to make it hard for them to win, and then they got Philadelphia. I mean, I'm just saying that was such a crucial game because it's also the Packers – and you're never going to get them in a better spot. They got no Aaron Rodgers. They just came off a Monday night. That's the thing, I think, that you know, it's almost like a trap that everybody in town fell into, thinking that the Bears were, here we are. They're relevant again. They're going to get this done. And then, boom.
Yep, no question about it. The minute you start talking about we're favored and all that stuff, everybody gets excited. It was a tough loss. It was one that you'd like to win for a couple reasons. One, a division game. Two, it's the Bears. And three, you just got to get a little momentum going and get it turned back. So tough loss, but hey, right now you got to find a way to beat Detroit. That's all you can do at this point.
Let's get to some college stuff because that was an unbelievable weekend in college football. And it just – everything blew up. I mean – I didn't think Miami was that good, to be honest with you, Dave.
Even
they
looked
so
I mean,
fast.
I was with Miami, but, you know,
You had the turnover chain.
I was wearing the turnover chain. Michael Irvin's still mad at me for wearing it, you know? That's his deal, he said.
But Notre Dame goes in there and just, I mean, they were overwhelmed. They did not look like they were ready to take that on. And those kids were, I mean, they just looked slower than I thought. Running game travels, defense travels. I really thought that they'd be okay, and boy, you know
what's funny about that
dead
game?
Wrong.
Last week we talked, and I think I said it because Brian Kelly. Now think about this: they got Josh Adams. He was like number six in the nation in rushing, maybe even better than that, top 10. And they were running the football. That's how they were winning, and that was helping their defense. And it was funny because after the Wake Forest game, the quarterback Brandon Wimbush for Notre Dame, he threw for 300 yards, 299 or whatever it was. And only one touchdown, though. But that was like the topic of everything all week, how well he's doing throwing the ball. And they came out against Miami, and they were trying to throw the ball early, you know. And that completely caught me off guard. And then once Miami hit him a couple times, I mean, I hate to say this, but, boy, it almost looked like they didn't want any part of that whole scenario, you know, as the game went on. I mean, Miami was just a lot more physical and aggressive football team in all areas.
Georgia losing as well. I mean, you know,
that's
huge.
Just losing. Hell.
Getting, you know, stuffed. Yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, so now everything's thrown back up for grabs. We're going to find out tonight who everyone. I mean, I think.
How about Wisconsin, though? You got to give them a little bit of loving. I mean, what they did to Iowa.
Right.
Kurt Ferentz has been there forever.
Iowa beats Ohio State.
Handily.
And then they, boom.
Yes.
And that's a close game early, and then they just pull away from them.
Yes. But, I mean, Wisconsin's defense, they held Iowa to the least amount of yards since Kurt Ferentz has been there, like 60-some yards total offense. I mean, it was crazy. So Wisconsin's in a good position right now. They lock up the West, and then it's Ohio State, Michigan in 2 weeks. This is Wisconsin's most dangerous game. This week, we have the game, by the way, on Fox, Wisconsin and Michigan. This is going to be a heck of a football game. You watch. It's going to be a lot closer game than what people may think. I mean, this is a dangerous game for Wisconsin.
How about a two-loss Ohio State team if they end up winning the Big Ten championship?
Well, you want to know how they get in?
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, this is what has to happen. So get your pencils out. I'm going to talk about this on all my shows this weekend, too. So, I've been thinking about this. If Alabama wins out, that eliminates Auburn and that eliminates Georgia. okay? Auburn would have three, Georgia would have two, because they would beat Georgia in the championship. If Miami wins out, that eliminates Clemson.
Right.
If Oklahoma wins out, that eliminates Oklahoma State and TCU. So now they are looking at all the two-loss teams, and Ohio State wins out. They got two losses, but they are the Big Ten champ. And someone's going to come back and say, well, Notre Dame's sitting there if they win out with two losses. And I'm going to say, guess what? Ohio State has won a championship. So they got that on their resume, too. A Big Ten championship with the same amount of losses. Ohio State goes to the playoffs.
So you think there is an outside chance Notre Dame could get in?
No. Ohio State would go ahead of them because Notre Dame doesn't play a championship game.
Yeah.
So any two-loss team that wins their conference
is back in the conversation.
Is back in the conversation because, you know, that's a big part according to the committee.
Who's the best team you've seen?
Ohio State.
Is that
crazy?
Right?
I tell you what. I'm going to back up. Oklahoma after last week. TCU's defense, and I know we don't follow the Big 12 that much in this part of the country. Guys, TCU's defense in the Big 12 that scores like 50 points a game with Oklahoma State and all those teams down there, Texas Tech and Oklahoma, they were number one in rushing defense in the nation, number six in scoring defense in the nation. And Oklahoma went up and down the field on them. Baker Mayfield sewed up the Heisman, in my opinion.
Wow.
He locked up the Heisman last weekend. And Oklahoma right now, in my opinion, is the best team in the country.
Do you like Clemson?
I do like Clemson. The quarterback, though, Kelly Bryant, the young quarterback, he's got to stay healthy. If he gets banged around or he has an off game, we saw what happened when he didn't play at Syracuse. They lose.
All righty, Dave. Thank you. As always, a lot to learn from Coach Wanstead. It's Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And he gets paid, too. That's John Fox talking about the Packers quarterback who had his Aaron Rodgers moments Sunday. They get paid as well, and a lot of fans are tiring of the Bears head coach saying, well, these aren't excuses, they're just reality. But the fact of the matter is you didn't get the job done against the Green Bay Packers when seemingly you had many advantages going into that game. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Tech Zone brought to us by Grossinger Auto Group. Find more than 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. 670-11 if you want to text the score. And a lot of texters saying they're glad to hear Dave Wanstead explain that he too would have challenged that play. And Dave told you a couple yards difference makes all the difference from a coaching perspective. So anything down by the goal line, you drop that challenge flag. And obviously it backfired, but Dave Wanstead said it was the correct thing to do. My only concern was you did it in haste and you didn't give your staff or yourself a chance to look at the replay a couple times before you made that play. But Mully, you pointed out Mitch Trubisky was rushing to the line of scrimmage to get a play off, to get Packers on their heels.
He was moving quickly and understood that that was a good moment to kind of strike them because they had just given up a big play and they were scrambling to get back. You know, look, I know that it's going to be a defining moment in the season, and I know that it might be a defining moment in the career of the Chicago career, let's say, of John Fox, but I don't know that it should be. I think that we're being really hard on that one.
No,
and I don't think the coach makes the call there. I think he relies on people to give him information. Hey, he hires the people. He puts it together. But I think he's taking a lot of criticism for that. And again, that wasn't the last play of the game. That wasn't the defining moment of that game. It was a defining moment because it was so awful.
Yeah, it's an oddity.
It's
a headline because you don't see it. And we said in the 5-5, and Dave agreed with us, you know, there's a whole host of reasons you lost that game before you get to that play and that challenge, which blew up in your face. Now, that's on the list. But it's your defense not being your defense that everyone became accustomed to. It's defense not being able to stop the third string running back. It's the defense, you know, not being able to get off the field.
You know, we talked about this last week, and the simple fact is that the Bears have a very thin margin for victory, and a lot of things have to go well for them, and a lot of things they have to play a certain way, and they've got to get a certain amount of contribution. I mean, you can argue that they won two games in a row because they got – turnovers for touchdowns, and that's really was the deciding factor. I'm not saying that you don't hold people accountable, but I do think that we knew the minute they lost that game, everyone was going to be calling for his head. It was predictable
Sure. How
it was going to happen. That was it. Because it was Green Bay, because it was the long way. This thing is not over. They're still, Detroit comes in here. I'm not saying they're going to beat Detroit, but if you can get this team back together again, if you can, renew some confidence in what they're doing, this Dontrell Inman looked like a pretty good option. It looked like they improved in terms of their passing game. I just think that it's very difficult to sit here and feel like the season's over. They were 3-5, and now they're 3-6. A week has passed. The NFL, any given Sunday, man. I mean, the Bears, believe it or not, could go out and beat Detroit. It doesn't make any sense. It probably isn't going to happen. I don't think they're going to be favored in the game. I don't know if they'll be favored until, I don't even know. I guess San Francisco is the next time they'll be favored. I just think that there's a lot that can happen, and I'm not predicting that they turn their season around or anything like that because I think that it's a bridge too far. But I just think that, the Bears have never in the history of the organization fired a coach in season. They're not doing that now.
Yeah.
And, the coordinator, they couldn't fire the offensive coordinator. Is Vic Fangio leaving? He's not under contract. He's free to go. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I think there's a lot of things to take into account when you start figuring out what the future is with the Bears. But I think we overreact to the moment. And the league, just marches on. And it's game by game, it marches on. They have some good things going for them, none of which are recognizable in this moment because of what happened on Sunday.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to win the division because they need to leapfrog three teams and have to.
They're not going to win the division.
Right. So what is respectability now? First of all, you have to pick up the pieces and beat Detroit this week.
I felt
otherwise, you're stacking losses again.
Yeah, no, you can't be stacking losses because you're going to stack another loss. I just think I felt all along that if they could get to seven wins, you could make an argument that this is the best that he's done. We've got the draft going. Look what we've brought in here. We've got guys that are playing better. We've got holes we got to fill, but we're building a team and the quarterback's here now. I felt all along that was, the kind of the mark that you had to get to. It just seems unlikely now that you're getting to seven wins. It seems more likely you're going to get to six. But they played, nine games, right? So you've got a 16-game season, you got seven chances to win four.
If you get
to seven, would you be okay with keeping everybody for a year?
No, I wouldn't because you still have to develop the quarterback. And the question is Ryan Pace value continuity over the idea of getting someone in here to mold the quarterback? I mean, because you don't want upheaval every 3 or 4 years because that's what you're now in the cycle of. Everyone's got to go after three seasons because it's not working out.
And again, that is nothing but a loser's game.
Yep.
You get into that stuff where you're just firing people all the time, then that's how you become the Cleveland Browns, right? They're the worst team in the league because they're miles behind everyone else. They've gotten rid of administration after administration, and all that does is put you more in flux because guess what? The guy that comes in, I didn't draft that quarterback. He's not my guy.
Right.
You just got to be careful about the way you put teams together. Bear fan Bob is on with Mully and Hanley. Hey, Bob.
Guys, good morning. Long time, no talk.
Yeah. What's up, Robert?
You've been hiding from us.
Anyways, I had a life change, so I don't get to listen to you as often as I should. But anyways, that's not why I called. I was at the game Sunday. Somebody gave me a ticket, and I'm happy that I went. But at the end of the day, that call didn't make or break the Bears. We would have been mad if John Fox did not challenge it because I was in the stands. Here's what did kill the Bears. It's called not putting your best players in at the times that they needed to be in. You got Bellamy out there running around at the 2-minute drill when you should have had Shaheen out there running down the sidelines, catching a pass at the end of the game, trying to get a first down instead of this stupidity.
I would have taken Trey McBride over him.
He got one target.
I don't understand, honestly, Bob, the whole Josh Bellamy thing. And he caught a pass, so God bless him.
Right. And you know where I'm going with it. Your best players are not on the field.
Yeah, and I thanks, Bob, for the call. I don't think of Shaheen as one of their best players.
No, I mean, anything. The most you can say is unproven. I mean, that's the best thing.
He's one of their tallest, yes. Joe.
Great. The funny thing is we've been more upset about Josh Bellamy the week after he scores a touchdown.
How about it, man? Yes. How about it?
Because we actually saw
the
guy.
He did score a touchdown. It's great. Yeah. But you have to ask yourself, like, why is he out there again?
Hey, get out of here.
I mean, I'll go along with the special teams thing, but just knock it off throwing the passes to him.
We sit here in your conversation about John Fox. So if you keep him, and I wouldn't go nuts if they kept him and bring in another offensive coordinator, but now you're talking about three offenses and 3 years for the rookie because likely Fox isn't back after his fourth year, and then the new coach will bring in his OC.
This is the problem.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Thank you, Joe. Let's get to Jack. Jack is on with Molly and Hanley. Hi, Jack.
Hi. I just took kind of a backseat the last couple of days because I was so disappointed on Sunday. I just shut it off. I did. I was like, this sucks. Excuse me.
No, I'm with you.
And I appreciate everything you're saying today, but you know what? In my soul, I'm thinking, you know, John Fox, you did not have this team ready to play football, period. Not to steal something from OB. It falls on his shoulders, everything. You know, you got a bye week, Packers coming in, Aaron Rodgers left, and you just lay an egg like that. There's just no excuse for that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, a lot of people share that opinion.
Yeah, but again, I would say the Bears have never fired a coach in season, and again, George Halas was that coach for so many years, he wasn't going to fire himself. But they never did it, not even when they were awful, not even when you thought they might. And the idea of them doing it now.
Well, the Giants came out and said that we're going to evaluate everything.
Bob McAdoo is going to stick around until the end of the
year. The Bears won't even go down that road to give you the general, evaluate everything at the end of the season.
Has the final decision been made? I don't know that we can draw that conclusion.
No, in New York it has.
Yeah, we're going to fire him at the end of the year, is what they announced.
That's what we just heard yesterday.
That's exactly what they announced.
Yeah, when you make that announcement.
When you make that, we're going to reevaluate the other. It's like, get your resume together, son, because we're moving
or
on.
Call the moving vans and make a reservation.
All right, we're going to take a short one here. We want to get to Mike Florio and ask him about this Jerry Jones stuff and what's going on in Jerry world. Could they take away their franchises? Is this a media driven? First of all, it might be my favorite story since Deflategate. I love this story. Is there legs to it? Mike's been on the inside, is reporting a lot of stuff here. Got to find out if they would take away the Cowboys. I would pay top dollar just to see the legal brief after they were done with the lawsuits in the next 17 years. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
We are living the dream, and I got to tell you, this is my new favorite story since Deflategate, the whole Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones thing, and I love the idea of stripping him of his team. I mean, you think you're going to sue the league at one point or other? Oh, my goodness gracious. What a wonderful
story.
Just
go down and padlock the stadium, and what do you do there?
Yeah, here's what's amazing about it, because the chances of it happening are fairly slim, and they understand there would be years of litigation, and it would just make an ugly mess even uglier and even messier. But it shows how exasperated they are with Jerry Jones right now. You know, he's taken a turn in recent months. I don't know whether it was the Hall of Fame induction, whether it's just hubris run amok, whatever the case may be. He's been rubbing a lot of his fellow owners the wrong way. He likes to hijack these meetings. He talks and talks and talks, and he wants things done his way. And this Goodell contract extension has caused him not just to handle business in-house. See, they have no problem with him at meetings making his case aggressively and saying why he thinks Goodell shouldn't have whatever they want to give him by way of a financial package. But when he takes it public, when he instigates Papa John's to come out and berate and disparage the league. That's when he crosses a line in the eyes of some owners, and that's what's caused them to at least start talking about it. I mean, I've compared it to the talk about the 25th Amendment, right? The talk comes up about how the cabinet could vote to replace the president if it gets bad enough, and people talk about it. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but just the fact that it's even being discussed shows how remarkable these times are for the NFL. I'd be shocked if it happens. He has been warned to knock it off, or he could be fined, he could lose draft picks, or he could be suspended. They haven't mentioned the nuclear option to him yet, but if he keeps it up, something is going to happen. The question is what and how hard he'd fight back.
Will he keep it up, knowing Jerry Jones?
How could he not? Right?
Right. He can't help himself, right?
Yeah, he can't help himself. And he does two weekly radio spots in Dallas, Tuesdays and Fridays. And I'm waiting for the news of what he said today, because he's not just going to say, well, I'm done talking about it. They've told me I can't talk about it. He's going to talk. He's going to do his thing. And I think his strategy now is to basically poison the well so thoroughly as it relates to Roger Goodell that the owners eventually realize, you know what, we have no choice but to hire a new commissioner. I think that's what he's trying to do, because that leak from Sunday to ESPN, and it's clear it was either Jones or one of the handful of owners who agree with Jones who created this false impression that Roger Goodell asked for $50 million a year. He didn't, but they got ESPN to go with it. So now, anyone you come across, what's the first thing they want to say? I can't believe, who does Roger Goodell think he is? $50 million a year in a private jet. And you know what? It's working. That's the thing. He's winning the PR battle. And the question is, what can the NFL do now to put the toothpaste back in the tube?
Well, I love, even on Sunday, they had the spotlight on the, there's Arthur Blank on the field. There's Jerry. They're not talking. That, you know, owners normally talk. So now everyone's trying to read the tea leaves here, too.
They've been told not to talk to him. There was a letter that was sent by an NFL lawyer to the owners on the compensation committee. We advise you not to communicate with Mr. Jones regarding the negotiations of Commissioner Goodell's employment contract. I mean, the point is, anything they say can be used by Jones against you. So the safest course is...
It's like the Miranda rights of the NFL.
But don't talk to him at all. And isn't it weird? I mean, this is a group that prides itself on all ships sailing in the same direction, and everybody's on the same page. And yes, we compete on the field, but off the field, we're all getting rich. And this is the kind of thing that contributes to the sense of dysfunction right now in the NFL. And, you know, the one thing I agree with Jerry Jones on is this. I don't know why they did a vote in May to authorize the compensation committee to negotiate a contract within certain parameters. Why not negotiate the contract and then let the owners vote on the final contract? Then you at least know what you're voting on. And if you don't like it, you don't vote for it. I feel like this procedure actually does help the commissioner. Instead of just negotiating it subject to the approval of the full ownership, we would have avoided all of this mess if that's what they would have done.
I got to tell you, you know, the beauty of it is we get texts immediately like, is Jerry trying to coax them into buying him out because he wants full price for the franchise? Like, it's all Jerry jumping ship on the NFL product that's going down the tube.
Hey, sell high, right? Buy low and sell high.
He is a genius. There's got to be a reason. I think he's just mad about Zeke Elliott. I think it's as simple as that. He's angry, and he wants to slap Roger Goodell over the whole thing.
That report emerged last week from Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and I believe it, that Jerry Jones is under the impression that Roger Goodell lied to him about Elliott. And it fits with the timeline, because
right.
In May, when Jerry's under the impression that Elliott's not going to be suspended, Jerry is among the owners who unanimously voted to authorize the committee to go do this deal. At some point after that, Jerry starts getting skittish. Jerry starts complaining. Jerry starts insinuating himself into the process and trying to derail it. And I think that he believes he got lied to by the commissioner. And you know, when there's one thing that you're really upset about, because here's the way, I mean, any relationship works this way. There can be a bunch of little things that bug you, but everything's going fine. I can deal with that thing that bugs me and that thing that bugs me and that thing that bugs me. Then comes the big thing that bugs you. Well, not only does that thing bother you, but all those little things you'd look the other way on, they become big points of contention as well. So now Jerry points to this, he points to that, he points to this, and some of his points aren't invalid, right? And Thomas Tull, who is the former chairman and CEO of Legendary Pictures, the Batman movies and whatnot, he's one of the major owners of the Steelers, not named Rooney. He made the point last week that the NFL needs to be proactive. The NFL is too reactive. And that's, I've been saying that for years. That's how they are under Roger Goodell. They don't spot potential problems and avoid them.
Right.
Or find a small problem and get rid of it before it becomes a big problem. They wait for something big to happen. They wait for something embarrassing to happen. And they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. We need to keep that from happening again. That's no way to run a successful business.
He's Mike Florio. Our visit with Mike brought to us by Webb Chevy for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago. Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn.
So we look at John Gruden criticizing Adam Gase, and everyone says, no, he's coming back. He wants that job. And then you hear, no, no, he's going to Tampa. It's got to be Tampa. The Bears would like to have him. I don't know if it's if he's available to take three different jobs. What's your take on Gruden returning?
Ira Kaufman, who has covered the Buccaneers for years, was on my radio show today, PFT Live, and he's been connecting the dots and reading the tea leaves, and he thinks the door is open in Tampa for a return. And Gruden likes Jameis Winston. I mean, that's the key. You've got a young franchise quarterback in Tampa that you want to get behind. Then you need a coach that genuinely wants to work with him, and Gruden apparently does. He's mended fences with ownership. They're putting him in the Ring of Honor. And it makes for a very awkward month or so with Dirk Cutter as the head coach. Think about this. Next month on a Monday night, Falcons come to Tampa. Gruden is there to call the game and to be put in the Ring of Honor.
Oops.
And they're already chanting Gruden's name. They're not drawing locally. They have horribly failed to live up to expectations. It's adding up to another 2 years and done for a Tampa Bay head coach, and maybe they get back to where they were a decade ago. They bring in Gruden and see what he can do.
What's the price tag for John Gruden? Because everyone hears, you know, who wants Jim Harbaugh. The guy's making $7 or $8 million in Ann Arbor and has a clause in the contract that they have to renegotiate whenever his salary, slips below the average of the elite guys. You know, are the Bears going to cut a $10 million check to bring in a savior?
Well, let me tell you something. We talk about collusion all the time in the NFL and allegations of it as it relates to Colin Kaepernick, and it's like collusion's become this dirty word in America now. I think that over the past 15 years or so, maybe longer, the owners have been on the same page about the coaching market, right? There's no salary cap for coaches. Well, they can pay anything they want. And think of how important a good coach can be to a team. And yet, where are the best coaches? They've been hovering in that $7 to $8 million range for over a decade now, while every other indicator keeps going up and up and up and up. And the highest paid player is making $27 million a year now. And Belichick, and it's a big secret what he makes. I'm told like $12, $13 million a year. Isn't a great coach worth a hell of a lot more than that if the best player on the field is making $27 million? So I think that just institutionally they frown upon paying big money, and that could make Jim Harbaugh out of play. And I don't know what it's going to take for Gruden. I just think Gruden knows it's time for him to move on. Ira Kaufman made a great point. He said that Gruden really misses Mike Tirico. Nothing against Sean McDonough, but he really misses working with Mike Tirico.
That's weird. I don't miss him with Tirico, if that helps.
Mike Tirico's great. And I guess that's all I'll say about the Mike Tirico and John Gruden pairing. One of my people has texted me that Jerry, appearing now on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, says he won't back off. So
there you go.
There's a shock.
There you go. There's
a freaking surprise.
Yeah. Mike, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. That's an unbelievable story. That he's been all over it. That is fantastic stuff. And he won't back down. I will stand my ground. Yeah.
Hey, want to congratulate Jerry from Rockton. Won our trip today, the Apple Vacations trip, a 3-night trip for two to beautiful Grand Bahia Principe Punta Cana in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. He knew that was Casey Johnson that we played in the soundbite today. So we'll give away another trip tomorrow each day this week. Thanks to Apple Vacations.
And I would say once he goes there, he should not go back to Rockton. And
waste another year. You don't want to do that.
All right. Thanks to everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, thank you so much for listening. It's Mully and Hanley. It's Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 of the score.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.